This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Your American Farm Bureau turns 100 next month, a truly special cause for celebration. All year long, we've been celebrating a century of working together for the men and women who grow our food, fiber, and energy. This remarkable milestone is a testament to how much stronger we are when we speak with one voice. A lot has changed in 100 years, but farmers and ranchers' most essential needs and concerns have not. Then and now, we need markets for what we produce, labor to grow and harvest it, infrastructure to transport it, and fair prices to keep our businesses moving forward. Thankfully, there is a strong national organization working for those goals. Founded in November of 1919, the American Farm Bureau Federation has given all farmers and ranchers a voice in our nation's capital. Because of the decision 100 years ago to establish the American Farm Bureau Federation, farmers and ranchers are represented when Congress works on a wide range of issues. No matter what they grow or where they grow it, farmers and ranchers come together through Farm Bureau to work for the good of all agriculture. On a day-to-day basis, it's easy to take this organization for granted. It seems as if it's always been here for farmers and ranchers, and it always will be. But to appreciate something's true value, you need to imagine how things would be without it. Without Farm Bureau, we would not have federal programs to provide risk management tools to help farmers and ranchers survive volatile ups and downs in the farm economy. Without this great organization, non-farm interests would drown out the voice of farmers and ranchers. The American Farm Bureau was the first organization to bring groups of grassroots members to Washington, D.C. to influence their members of Congress in favor of farm legislation. Our Farm Bureau forefathers wrote the book on grassroots advocacy and influence, and we're still proud of our grassroots structure. We have been standing firm for farmers since day one. In the early days of Farm Bureau, Congress wanted to recess without voting on a farm bill. The American Farm Bureau worked with a farm bloc of senators and representatives, however, to stop Congress from recessing until the farm legislation was considered. With that same passion, we continued to band together across Farm Bureau to ensure that Congress, the White House, and federal agencies make our farmers and ranchers a priority. We in Farm Bureau often say that if there wasn't an American Farm Bureau, we'd have to create one today. Of course, the reality is we do recreate Farm Bureau with each new generation of grassroots farm and ranch leaders. Each generation determines where this movement will go next, how engaged they will be, and, therefore, how effective and influential Farm Bureau will be. Each generation strengthens Farm Bureau for the next so that future farmers and ranchers will have a strong, united voice working for them, too. In an age when it seems that so much is coming and going faster than ever, it is such a blessing to be able to celebrate 100 years as an organization. Much like the farmers and ranchers we represent, we tend to keep our heads down and hands on the plow here at American Farm Bureau, moving forward with the work that needs to get done. Following record flooding and historic delays in planting, the Farm Disaster Assistance Package passed earlier this year included more than $3 billion in funding to help farmers recover after these and other natural disasters. A notable provision of the disaster package provides additional financial assistance, called a top-up payment, to farmers unable to plant a crop in 2019. Farmers with a prevented planting insurance claim will be eligible for a supplemental top-up payment of up to 15% of their prevented planting indemnity if they purchased a revenue protection plan. Farmers who did not purchase the harvest price option, for example, yield protection or revenue protection with harvest price exclusion, will be eligible for a top-up payment equal to 10% of the prevented planting indemnity. Importantly, unlike other disaster assistance programs, the additional top-up payment will be delivered by approved crop insurance providers and not the Agriculture Department's Farm Service Agency. Producers will automatically receive the top-up payments. A new study commissioned by the United Soybean Board reveals the lack of access to broadband in rural areas takes a significant toll on American farmers and the economy. A According to Rural Broadband and the American Farmer, connectivity challenges limit agriculture's economic impact and sustainability. An alarming 60% of U.S. farmers say they do not have enough connectivity to run their businesses. Other significant findings include 78% of farmers do not have a choice in internet service providers, and 60% of farmers say the internet service they do have is slow, with most relying on cell signals or hotspots to connect to the internet. AFBF collaborated with USB on the survey, which included more than 2,000 farmer participants. At 136,000 new jobs created, according to the establishment side of the September jobs report released October 4th, this was another just-right report. Expectations for the report ran somewhere in the 145,000 range, so 136,000 was slightly below expectations, but not enough to cause concern. From the other direction, the number by itself was not high enough to lead us to think the economy is heating up. The wage data helped to confirm this by showing a 3.5% increase over a year ago. Again, nice, but nothing concerning in either direction. AFBF President Zippy Duval and Vice President Scott Vanderwall recently participated in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, taking time to remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Several State Farm Bureau presidents joined Duval and Vanderwall at the cemetery. Randy Veach of Arkansas, Rich Giebert of Illinois, Chuck Fry of Maryland, Mike McCormick of Mississippi, and Rick Seidem of New Jersey. AFBF is honoring veterans as part of its centennial celebration. The organization's official anniversary date is November 12th. A little more than a year ago, China was by far the largest market for American hardwoods. Prior to the announcement of multiple rounds of tariffs and counter-tariffs between the United States and China in mid-2018, the U.S. hardwood industry was exporting nearly $2 billion worth of product to China annually, accounting for almost 50% of the total U.S. grade lumber produced and nearly 10% of total agricultural exports to China. Since the retaliatory action by the Chinese, hardwood exports are down 43%, and the value of those exports has fallen by $615 million, or an average of $154 million a quarter. President Trump on Monday signed the U.S.-Japan trade agreement, which is an important step forward with U.S. agriculture's fourth largest export market. In a statement, AFBF President Zippy Duval said that the signing marks the successful end to more than a year of negotiation between Japan and the United States. This agreement means sharply lower tariffs on our farm and ranch exports, with the promise of more to come. And while we aren't yet finished opening this market, the conclusion of these talks means we can now trade with Japan with the same advantages enjoyed by signers of the CPTPP trade agreement. That's great news. He added that we hope the momentum for this win carries through to the negotiations with China this week and sets the stage for similar bilateral agreements with other countries involved with the CPTPP. We appreciate this administration's efforts to improve trade opportunities for farmers. To be clear, it's not the best of times, nor is it the worst of times. But there was an interesting set of figures out of the planet's two largest economies last week. The National Bureau of Statistics in China reported the value of the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index rose to 49.8 in September, up from 49.5 in August. For the United States, the manufacturing PMI came in at 47.8 for September, a noticeable drop from the 49.1 reported for August. The PMI, in this case, is a survey of managers as to whether they think the sector is expanding or contracting. When the survey comes in at 50, things are neither growing nor contracting. A survey value higher than 50 is expansion. One less than 50 indicates contraction. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.